Welcome to the podcast of the Wildlife Trust of South and West Wales. And today I'm offering quite a different experience to our usual podcasts. I'm in Glyncorrig Ponds Centre, which is in the Avon Valley just above Neathport Talbot. And I'm stood in this spectacular valley that's been scarred by years of sort of mining industry and now Forestry Commission sort of tree planting, but is being reclaimed and looking more and more dramatic as the hills and more natural woodlands are starting to come back. But what is particularly notable about this area as you drive up it and as you drive up the valley is the pink swathes of Himalayan balsam that really dominate the area, which has spread enormously. And it's a real blight on the landscape, especially when you look further up the valley and you see the beautiful hills and really pretty sort of fields and woodlands that are coming back. So I'm here to meet Rose Rivera, who works for the Trust, and a group of her volunteers who have been engaged by Neathport Talbot, local authority, to come and assist them in clearing back some of this very invasive plant. So let's go and find them and see what they're up to. Now, the Avon Valley in Glyncorrig is perhaps better known for its mining industry and more of late, actually, its mountain biking, which is really blooming in this area. And Glyncorrig Ponds is actually a mountain bike centre with a cafe and caravan park and everything and campsite. So a great resource for the local people and for people visiting the area, which is well worth coming to if you're into mountain biking. And now I'm walking up off from the centre to find Rose and her team to see what they're up to. Now, as you can hear, I'm walking by a river, and I'm actually between two quite deep ponds, actually used for fishing. And you can see along the riverbanks and up into the hills where forestry has been cleared that the Himalayan balsam is really dominating. Once that occurs, then you start losing all the native species and flora, which would have been struggling to get through post the Forestry Commission clearance. And so what you end up with is a massive monoculture of plants that wipe out our native species. This is not actually a Wildlife Trust reserve, and as I said, it's slightly different in that I'm not taking you to a reserve, but I'm actually bringing you to something else, which the Trust does take on occasionally, sort of work outside its own nature reserves, recognising really that a lot of wildlife doesn't recognise the boundaries of our nature reserves, and so why should we? We should actually be working with people, extending the opportunities for wildlife. There's some mountain bikers going past now, giving them a chance to actually expand out and giving it a greater resilience to the challenges it faces ahead. Another real concern about Himalayan balsam, I'm looking up into a field where there's cattle grazing, and the Himalayan balsam is moving into those fields. So a lot of potentially important grazing land is being lost underneath the Himalayan balsam. I'm not aware of anything that actually will eat it. Looking into the next field, it's a sheep field, and yeah, there is a bit more just grass back there, but and perhaps the sheep do manage to nibble it back a little, but certainly the cattle field is getting dominated out by Himalayan balsam, and not the good pasture grass that the farmer needs for meat or milk. And actually, as I come around the corner of that sheep field, I can see the Himalayan balsam is taking over a corner of that field, so perhaps even the sheep are not good enough at grazing it back. And as I'm walking up, I can just see ahead of me a pile of pulled Himalayan balsam, which I suspect is where we'll find Rose and her team, having pulled it all up and laid it out, ready for bagging up. Okay, I'm with Rose Rivera and her trusty band of volunteers, and I'm going to come down and... hello, Rose, how are you doing? What are you up to here, then?
We're pulling up some Himalayan balsam. There's a lot of it here, and we're just trying to get rid of as much as we can before the rest of it starts to seed now.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the valley, it's a huge area of balsam, isn't it?
Yeah,
that we're tackling
it
on.
Is massive. There's so much up here. But and we've done as much as we can this year, but it's going to have to be a every year thing for as long as possible, as soon as it starts growing.
Yeah, and you think it's probably going to take a lot more people, probably.
Yeah, more people, more time, more
investment.
Investment,
it.
Yeah, which unfortunately.
Yeah, but I suppose the costs of not doing this are just huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they would be huge. So we'd just completely lose the native species diversity all along this valley if we just let it carry on and end up with vast monocultures of Himalayan balsam, which we really don't want.
Yeah. And I mean, not just from a native species perspective, I mean, it's going to cost anyway, isn't it? Because of the sort of the damage it does.
Yeah, it being an annual, it, it'll die back now once it's seeded. And then it's got such shallow root system, this is nothing to hold the soil in place. Mm. So as soon as it starts to rain, then we're going to get a lot of soil erosion up here, unfortunately.
So you end up with sort of complete degradation of the local environment, and it's going to cost local authorities to put flood defences in, or it'll cost the local farmers and local landowners and people who garden here.
Yeah, luckily there's quite a good awareness of the problems up here in the Avon Valley. Lots of people have seen how bad it is and can see how much of it there is. So they've all been very supportive about the clearance. And then there's a farmer up here as well, who obviously he has it on his land, and he obviously doesn't want it on his land, so it's all costs to everyone really to try and get rid of it.
Yeah, and I mean it's got smaller numbers here today than I think you've had in the last few weeks, haven't you? But you know, clearly it's going to take a lot of people to really to get on top of this, and perhaps I mean, you're hand pulling, aren't you? If you'd just like to tell me about the approach you're taking at the moment.
Well, we've been hand pulling. It's the most efficient method of doing it, really. It's because you can just get in there and you don't have to take down any of the other native vegetation that it's growing in amongst. Because you see it growing in amongst willow herb, and obviously we'd rather not damage that.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunately very slow. So I think next year it might be more a case of mowing and strimming it.
Yeah.
And
I think you can select, looking at the area, I mean, there is areas where it is just balsam.
Yes, it is. And those areas can just be strimmed got rid of.
I mean, in my personal experience, when you see it like that, you start to see it growing so densely together, it becomes a wall, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's just a forest of balsam, and you can just reach in there and grab huge handfuls of it.
Yeah, and actually strimming back, you're not going to damage any of the native flora. It's I suppose where you're picking now, where you're pulling it, is a better example of why you can hand pull.
Yeah, we've got some hawthorn in there and thistles and brambles and nettles. And yeah, we just wouldn't want to be in there with a strimmer, but there's lots of places that we could strim it, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the plan, I think.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get those.
Oh, I can't leave things like that. Yeah.
I know. They're just calling my name.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to get over there, I think.
Okay, I'm with Bethan Hopkins, who's a volunteer with Rose. Bethan, you've been here for some time now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been here 6 or 7 times now over the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and so how are you finding it?
It's not too bad. The plant's quite easy to pull up.
Yeah.
So it's just the slopes around here that can get a bit muddy and
it's
slippery.
It's quite steep, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite steep.
But otherwise it's nice. It's nice to be outdoors and I'm enjoying it. So
there's a benefit to you for not...
Definitely. Yeah, you know, I'm interested in wildlife and that sort of stuff, and I hope, you know, to get a job in this sort of sector later on. So, I enjoy this sort of work.
Cool. And I mean, obviously, Himalayan balsam's a real problem in this area.
Yeah.
And do you understand the kind of the background of why it's such a problem?
I know it was introduced here a long time ago from Asia, and just for gardens and stuff, and then it's just spread, but it's because it's got such shallow roots, isn't it? It's so easy, like it attaches to such remote places, isn't it?
See it on the walls, can't
you? Yeah, on the walls. It's been on bus stops. We've seen it on bus stops, in the trees, everywhere.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
not fantastic.
Yeah,
I have seen it in walls of houses as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's astonishing how, I guess, that spray mechanism it uses.
Yeah, the exploding seed pods.
Yeah, it must be able to scatter it into so many little crevices. Yeah, and I mean, I suppose it's a real benefit. You're probably starting to appreciate the benefit of if you clear one plant.
Yeah,
you're stopping
so many more. Yeah, because you know, there's so many seed pods on just one plant, and then that explodes, and there's so many seeds, and it's just multiplies and multiplies. Mm. So it's
and this is a good example, this valley, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a brilliant happened. Example. Yeah, but it's, you know, you go further down the valley, and there's so much more of it. It's
yes.
everywhere, absolutely everywhere.
When I was driving up, actually, I noticed the entire fields have gone, yeah, haven't they? They've just been lost to the balsam.
Yeah.
So massive loss to the local.
Yeah, because it, you know, it prevents like natural diversity that should be, you know, because obviously it's an invasive species. It prevents, you know, British species that should be growing in areas like this.
Yeah, you know. And I mean, one of the arguments is that, you know, honeybees, they love it and everything, but that's
yeah,
not
but
a great argument, is it?
No, I suppose, you know, because it is preventing natural plants that would also provide for the honeybees. So, you know, it does provide for them, but also it destroys so much more. I think the negatives outweigh the positives by
yeah.
so much.
Well, I was just looking at a peacock butterfly up on a hemp agrimony plant up there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, are they not going to benefit from the balsam? And as soon as that hemp agrimony's gone, it's...
yeah.
That's no good for the butterflies and other
yeah,
species, is it?
Yeah, other species like that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So...
Well, thank you very much, Bethan.
That's okay, no problem. Thank you.
Tomorrow, still got more on tomorrow.
That's it, yeah.
So tomorrow yeah. is the last day of it.
Yeah.
So basically until next year, until probably, when does it start
June,
coming
is
through
it?
June?
Yeah.
June-ish.
Then that's it.
I just don't like it when it's so tiny, you've got to bend down all the time.
Yeah.
My old back sort of creaks a bit. It's not too bad on a bank because you can stand
you
and
can
sort
stand
of go up.
Up. Yeah.
But when you're bending down, that's
yeah.
just it.
Yeah,
and then you get it 6 foot tall and just grab an armful and pull it and you're just like, oh, that's amazing.
You clear lots at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes, that's always satisfying.
Yeah. Well, I was saying to Rose, I volunteer at Bringaroo Park and we've done 3 years in the same patch of, or same meadow. And this year there was hardly anything to pull up. So you can see, even after 3 years,
yeah.
it's been quite intensive. But there's been, like, say, 10 of us doing 2 or 3 sessions in the summer, which about 20... 200
yeah.
hours,
yeah,
and we've cleared it in pretty much cleared it in 3 years, so
yeah.
you can see
it
the
can
benefit.
Be
it can be done.
Yeah, it's just getting everybody else on board, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and
it.
It's just manpower. It's just so tiny.
Yeah.
Well, I keep saying get the schools in. You know, if you get
yes.
the primary schools, it's
get
not
the holidays.
It's not prickly. It's not difficult. It's
no,
easy
exactly.
to recognise. You can get them in,
mm.
and then when they're out, instead of their granny going, look at the pods, you know, they pop.
Oh
yeah.
yes.
You know, they can actually say, oh no, granny, don't do that. And pull it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's
break
a long
off
way
the
to
root.
Go. Exactly.
Whatever you do, break
yeah.
off the roots.
Yeah.
No, we keep plugging at it.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah.
So we're looking at an area then that you've managed to clear back here, haven't we?
Yeah, this was all covered in balsam and there was a massive stand of it in amongst the bramble over there.
Yeah.
So this took a couple of days to do this area.
Yeah.
But it's looking a lot better than it was.
Yes, and what you're just picking off now are just the smaller plants then that
yeah,
have just
that have come through.
Followed through.
Yeah.
I suppose that's how you've got to manage this sort of area, isn't it? It's
yeah.
like you've got to do a big blast and then
yeah.
you need somebody to come through afterwards and just...
I think so. I think every area's got to have 2 days spent on it sort of thing.
Yeah, and then come back the following week
yeah.
and see what else has popped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got several bags load in the car. What are you
yeah.
going to actually do with that now then?
That's going to be taken down to Green Waste in the council. We're doing this work for the council for Neath Port Talbot.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go and put it in the compost down there.
Yeah, so their compost, it's really important to say, isn't it? They get their compost so hot.
Yeah, it's
it
the way it's treated,
the,
seed. The seeds won't be viable at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
so
the idea with
don't
that.
Don't put it in your own compost.
No, because it'll probably, you'll end up with a compost bin full of balsam.
Yeah, and I suppose for the home, the guy at home, in their, you know, sort of in their back garden, what is the best way for them to deal with it then?
Well, you just pull it up and crush the roots.
Mm-hmm.
I think you pull it up before the seeds, before it's even formed seed pods, and then you wouldn't have to worry about that. You could compost that.
Yeah.
But if it is already seeded, I guess it would be best to take it down.
And if you do pull it up, best to take the root off.
Yeah,
take
the
root
off or crush
it. Will live.
Yeah, it does. It is such a clever plant that it just doesn't. It will just come straight back. So, yeah, break the root off or crush the root and. Yeah, get rid of it.
I mean, I know I've seen it where it, you know, you've strimmed it and you think, yes, I've got rid of it all. And then you come back a few days later and there's that just that tiny connection and the plant is coming back.
Yeah, if you leave even the slightest bit. And if you're going to strim it or slash it or any sort of, you've got to get it before the lowest below the lowest node, because otherwise it'll just grow back again.
Yeah, so if you look at the plant, there's that very thick pink lower stem, isn't there?
Yeah,
and then you can see sort of like little pink nodules almost with the roots coming out.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
so just above that, then snap that off.
Yeah, got to get it below there or the plant will just
re-emerge.
It is a very clever plant and you can see why it's done so well.
Absolutely. But well, yes. Well, I mean, where they've cleared some forestry back as well, you can see where the plant's just taken over because of that cleared ground.
Yeah.
There's nothing else competing with
it.
No,
exactly.
And nothing else. Well, I mean, what else can compete with it? Trees, I suppose, can. But a native flora just can't.
No, it just doesn't seem to be able to cope. And even bramble, which is obviously good at out-competing everything else, the balsam just grows through it. So
yeah, and also even bracken, which normally stops other things.
It grows in amongst the bracken. It seems to be these sorts of things that outcompete everything else. They'll all grow together. We can see it here. There's some Crocosmia, another invasive species. We've got balsam growing in amongst it, so they do like to hang out together. Balsam and the knotweed, balsam and the and the Crocosmia.
Yes, it's a shame. I mean, Crocosmia again is another garden plant, isn't it, that's just escaped.
Yeah. Unfortunately, all these things have ended up here due to humans.
And our activities have just increased their numbers. So now I'm on my way back from where Rose and her volunteers have been working hard and clearing some of the balsam, and I'm back at Glencorrig Ponds, where the centre manager has been very active in managing back balsam, and you can really tell. I mean, what we have in front of us is a lovely pond with a little island. It's great for fishermen because there's quite a few fishermen in there. And what you do have is a wonderful mix. You've got purple loosestrife, you've got lovely sedges, you've got marsh marigold, you've got all sorts of beautiful natural native pond plants. And yeah, you can see the difference. It's wonderful. Just, you know, really beautiful mix of species. And dragonflies and butterflies and bees are all humming around here, clearly benefiting from their native species. And it's lovely to see somebody taking such an active role. And again, as I walk away from the ponds and into the area up to the actual centre, again, you can see where they've managed it back. And you've got yarrow and feverfew and loads of other native species that are clearly benefiting the local wildlife. More hemp agrimony and herb roberts, rosebay willow herb. Lots of different things that are far more beneficial to wildlife than the Himalayan balsam. It's the sort of thing that's really interesting. So I'm with Lee Axton, who is the manager for the Glencorrig Ponds Cooperative, which is fantastic, busy little centre in the heart of the valley, isn't it?
That's right. Now,
Lee, you are very much clearly anti the balsam that we've got growing here. So would you like to tell me a little bit about what your experience of the balsam?
Well, it just basically is totally dominant in the old valley.
Yeah.
You know, it did start off as a small clump at the top end of Glencorrig, and now is using the river channels, has spread right throughout the area.
Yeah.
And is working his way through using the fire breaks through the forests as well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem to like dense woodland, but you get an open area, and you can get all areas. I've spent a weekend or 2 days over a weekend clearing a field behind my house, farmer's field.
You've got a real practical experience of trying to get on top of your register.
Because basically it's getting into my garden, my neighbour's gardens, birds seem to eat the seeds, and you find little clumps of it around the area then, and you know, just start up a new colony.
I mean, are local people very aware of how bad it is? Are people into the idea of getting rid of it?
I don't know. I think most of the local people just see it as, oh, it's a pretty flower. And, you know, and especially in the autumn when the seeds have ripened, it's a little gimmick that you can just touch them and they explode everywhere. You know, you have to warn people, visitors who come to the centre, come up with handfuls or bunches to take home with them. And you say, like, no,
Please don't.
Put it down.
So you're really doing your part.
Yeah,
really. You're trying to improve.
I know a lot of people say you know, beating your head against a wall, but even when I walk around the ponds, I'm constantly, as soon as you see it, you just pull it up.
Yes,
but
I can
see.
It's
like an endless little job.
And you can see, when you look down at the pond, you can see all the nice native species, like the water mint and the purple loosestrife.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all coming up beautifully.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So
the thing about the Himalayan balsam, even though it's an annual, it just totally smothers out the ground. It spreads so densely, because when I did the field, there was no evening grass underneath it in areas. So
isn't it?
If the old valley gets suffers like that, all the native species can be totally wiped out.
Absolutely. They'll all be gone.
I know the bees love it.
Yeah, but I've said this so many times now, but it's like giving a McDonald's to a child. It's not the healthiest of diets, you know, for a bee, even though they do like it. I mean, our native species, they're a good mix of things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different mix of foods for them, so... Yeah. So are you kind of a bit of an evangelist? Do you tell other people about, you know, sort of don't,
leave it, just stay away, you know, and say wherever I see it around the area. All locals will probably think I'm mad and there's probably got a stupid name for me already. But, you know, I pull it up wherever it appears, just to stop it from spreading into colonising other areas of the village.
Absolutely. I mean, I can see when I walked up, I mean, you directed me up and around the valley. And you can see where it has taken a hold, especially at that base of the Forestry Commission.
I don't see it from here, but behind Old Stone Row up there, you can see it just below the farmer's fields.
On the hillside.
Just a solid wall of it.
Yeah.
And I've done some paintings with a... You know, it looks pretty in the foreground when I do my landscape paintings, you know. It brings a bit of colour.
Yeah, but it's not pretty. I mean,
there's other stuff that does the job,
absolutely.
But this, you know, the biggest problem at the moment now is the forestry and harvesting everywhere.
Yes, they've got quite a lot through, haven't they?
Yeah, they're just clearing all the forests, and if it gets onto these clearing sites, it'll just go rampant. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, there needs to be a real kind of strategy in place, doesn't there? Involving everybody, I think. The local authority, the local community, people like the Wildlife Trust. Get out there
And just do
tackling.
It, yeah.
Because
I think
it would
be a good idea to get the kids involved. But if you can start, it's not so bad. I think Glencora is the main problem.
Mm.
I know it's starting to colonise in Blind Whinby.
Mm.
There's a few patches just as you come into the village on the sides of the roads.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good. But Glencora seems to be affected the most. Mm. And as you go down the valley then to Carmarthen, Pontrhyfen, you know, there's massive colonies on where the forest you've harvested the mountains in the last 2 years. You know, there's big colonies forming there.
Yeah, you can see.
You can see what's going to happen in the future.
Absolutely.
Just in those two areas.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much, Lee.
No trouble
at all.
Good
to meet a fellow passionate anti-Himalayan balsam.
Balsam.
Great. Thank you very much.